The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Baba Mitziah, Daf Sadi Zayin. Today's daf is being studied. Le'anu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden. Amen. We begin today's daf on Sadi Vav Amud Bet. We are starting two lines from the bottom. Ta Shema. Dahu Gabra. The Sha'il Narga Mechavre. A guy borrowed a narga. Narga is an axe or a hammer from his friend. The itbar. Oh, you want to go to the first? Gabra? This is correct. So it's actually five lines up. Mechida. Hahu Gabra. The Sha'il Narga Mechavre. Itbar. And as he was using it, broke. So he came in front of Rava. Now he's gonna. What normal law is a borrower that's using the item and it breaks while he's using the item? That's considered like meta mahmat milacha. That's like using the animal at the time of the work. And if it dies at the time of the work, the shoel is patur. So seemingly the rabbi should tell him over here, you're patur. He tells him, amale zil aite sahade, go bring witnesses. De lo shanit be, that it, you didn't use it in an awkward manner, meaning you used it in the proper way. Maybe you misused it. That's why it broke. The iftar, and then you'll be patur. The e leka sahade mai. And let's say there's no witnesses. If he wasn't able to produce witnesses, so stashema tehu gavra de sha'ir narga mehavre. Guy borrowed a hammer from his friend. The itbar, and it broke. Atale kemederav amale. Zil shelim le narga me'alya. So he told him, go pay narga me'alya, a new hammer. So amale rav kanav rav aseh le rav. So he told him, dina hache? Is the law like that? Rashi, she shalim lo kli asui umtukan? Is that the din that he has to pay a new hammer? What's the problem? The hatenan, look at the top Rashi, gaben nizakin, by a person, let's say, that damages somebody, or an animal, let's say, one guy's animal damages another. Tashtume nezik, what does it mean nezik? Melamed sha'ba'alim metaplim benibela, that the owner, let's say, a mazik, shor mazik et havero. So now you damaged an ox that's worth 100. But the nevela, the carcass, is worth 60. So the deen is, well, let's say 60. So you give the animal to the nizak, he keeps his dead animal, and you just have to compensate him with the difference from 60 to 100, meaning you pay him 40. So the chaura, the gemara, I want to say the same thing over here. You broke the hammer. So let the, give the guy back the broken pieces of the hammer, whatever it's worth, and just pay him the difference that's your own. Why did he tell him you got to pay him a brand new hammer? So the Chashi says, "Sheshamin lo anivela shel behemto shemeta al yedez shezikalo ve'alei musif mishalim demem." Whatever the assess the carcass worth, you add to that number to get to the final price. Hachename yeshumu lo shivre harishon. They should assess for him the broken piece of ham. The alen yishlem demav v'zei yilech v'tachvich. They look liachayra. Let him go now buy another hammer. Why did he tell him that he has to buy him a brand new hammer? So the Gemara says they asked him this question v'shatik raf, and he kept quiet. He did not answer. He agreed to them. He said, "You're right." V'ilcheta, and the halacha is kerav kana v'rav aseh. You give him back the broken pieces to the borrower, and you pay him the difference of what it is to the broken hammer to a fixed hammer. So now we have to go back to the original story over here. The original story, he told him, is you got to bring witnesses. Now, why do you have to bring witnesses? Why can't he just swear that he was using it, mahmat melacha, and it broke? Why isn't that not enough? Which means all shomrim usually swear and they get patur. The shomer hanam swears that he wasn't a poshaya and that he's off the hook. Why in this case over the rabbi tell him go bring witnesses and then you'll be patur? So the Mefarshim say over here that he really is Ne'eman b'Shvu'ah over here. That if he would make a Shvu'ah, he would be off the hook. But he was just telling him to go bring Edim. That's because Lechatchila we tell him to bring Edim. Because it's so unusual that a hammer should break when you're working with it. That's what its purpose is. So therefore, we say, you know what? Lechatchila we want the guy to bring witnesses that he didn't misuse the item. That he didn't mistreat the item. Because then already he's a poshaya. Then it's his fault. But if he wouldn't have produced witnesses, but he said, I'm willing to swear, then already we'd allow him to swear. So in the case of a shu'el shemeta mahmat melacha, the first option is make a shivu'ah. I'm sorry, bring edim. If he didn't want to bring edim, so then already the deen is, he can indeed make a shivu'ah. Okay. Now, you have to say now, then when the Gemara's question is, v'ileka sahadeh mai, that was the Gemara's question, oh, and if he doesn't have witnesses, what? And you have to say, and he doesn't want to swear. Because if he wants to swear, he'll be patur as well. When the Gemara asks questions, if he doesn't have witnesses, so he also be patur. So it means, if he didn't bring witnesses, and he's not willing to swear, then what does he do? Oh, then the din is, he has to pay a new hammer. To that, the Gemara said, new hammer? Why new hammer? Let him get back the broken pieces, and let him pay the difference. Rav kept quiet, he's right. And the Gemara concludes, that is indeed the din. That when it's meant to mahmat melacha, it has the din of a nezek, that just like in damages, the guy that got damaged keeps the carcass and he just gets compensated to the full value of the animal. Similarly, by a shomer, he keeps the broken pieces and he's paid the difference to the value of the hammer in this case. Comes the Gemara and says another story. Yahu Gabra. The Sha'il Davla Mehabre. Okay, fellow, he borrowed a dili, means a bucket, from his friend. Itbar, again, it broke. Atal came to Rappapa, he came in front of Rappapa. Amar le, aite sahadeh de lo shanit be. Again, bring witnesses that you didn't act with it in an unusual manner. Ve'iftar, and indeed, you will be patur. So again, reconfirming what we just learned. Same story, just with a bucket. And Kanadeh was meta mahmat melacha, because he was using the bucket to fill up water or carry something with it. That's how it broke. That's considered meta mahmat melacha. Therefore, there is no problem. Nahu gabra. The Gemara then tells another story. The Sha'il Shunra mehabre. He borrowed a cat from his friend. Now, the reason why he borrowed the cat from his friend is in order to shoo away the mice. Okay? So it happened. Habur ale akhbare. So a group of mice ganged up against the cat, and the katluhu, and they killed the cat. Because the mice overpowered the cat. So comes the Gemara and says, "Yativ Rav Asher v'kame bayale." So Rav Asher was in the Bet Midrash, and he asked this case: "Ki hai gavna mai? What are you going to say? What's the din in this case over here?" So Gemara says, "Ki meta mahmat melachadame." Do you say, well, this is Meta Mahmat Melacha. He's shooing away the mice, and in the interim of his job of shooing away the mice, the cat got overpowered. So therefore, like we always say, the Shu'el can go to the master and say, or to the owner, that's what I borrowed it for. This is what it was supposed to do, and it died. So therefore, Meta Mahmat Melacha should be Patur. Or do you say, oh, no. Or do you say, no, that's not considered Meta Mahmat Melacha, because he wasn't killing them, they actually killed him. His Melacha is to go and chase them and eat the mice and get rid of the mice. Here, he wasn't doing the Melacha. It was mice related, but it wasn't Mamash, the Melacha that he was supposed to be doing. So maybe in that case over there, the owner is, the Shoel is Hayav. Okay, do you consider it Meta?
Why wouldn't it have been there?
Because he wasn't doing his job really.
He didn't die while he was eating the mice.
He wasn't. No, his job was to get rid of the mice, but he wasn't doing that. The mice got rid of him. So the question is it meant that Mahmud Malakah? Because you say, yeah, as he was trying to get rid of the mice, so they got him. So it's considered during his work. Or do you say, oh, he wasn't doing his work because he didn't get any rid of the mice. Right. The mice got rid of him. So therefore, the owner should be, the shoel should be hayav. That's the two sides of the question.
overpopulated.
Good. So that's why they got him.
But maybe that's why he.
That doesn't matter. That doesn't change our two sides of the question. The two sides of the question are: do you say, bottom line, it's mice cat related? Therefore, it's Beta Mahmad Melacha. Therefore, he's patur. Or do you say, no, bottom line, he wasn't eating the mice. The mice ate him. Therefore, it's not considered Beta Mahmad Melacha.
If he would have died, he ate mice that poisoned him.
Right, that's another story. But here,
because he's doing his job.
Here, like you said, there's so many mice over here. So therefore, maybe that's not considered Meta Mahmat Melaka. Look at Rashi. Right, what are you putting in that place? Look at Rashi says. Rashi says, Ki Agavna Mai. Mi Avi Meta Mahmat Melaka Olo. Right, you put it in, I guess, a very highly populated area where there was a lot of mice over there. Okay?
It's got bigger problems.
That's actually the way Tosfot learns. Look at Tosfot, the second Tosfot. Ki Agavna Mai. Tema. My coming by the hello meta Mahmat Melacha. That's meta Mahmat Melacha. As it's eating the mice got him. So what do you want? That's meta Mahmat Melacha. Yes, Tomar. Im shina akbarim mitzuyim. Right, like you said, he brought him to a place where there's a lot of mice over there. So maybe that's considered a shinui. Aval emno l'shmo shelo yargu. Or maybe you say that he doesn't have to worry about that they're going to kill him. So therefore, do you see that's considered a shinui?
They put a cat in the subway.
Right, they put a cat in a place where there's excessive mice. Anyway, Amar le Rav Mordechai le Rav Asher. Achi Amar Avimi Magronya Meshemed Rava Gavra Dineshe Katluhu Lo Dina Velo Daina. It says, Amen. That got killed by ladies. There's no claim. There's no judgment. There's no anything. Which means he shouldn't have fallen in their hands. Which means a man is supposed to be stronger than the lady. And if the ladies came along now and they overpowered the guy and they killed him, so he has no claim against them. He should have been able to fend himself off. Similarly over here, the cat should have been able to overcome the mice. And therefore, for sure he's going to be patur over here. Because the shoel is not a posheya. I don't care if there's a lot of mice.
Yeah.
A cat should be able to overcome a lot of mice, just like one man should be able to overcome a few ladies. So therefore, the deen is that he didn't do anything out of the ordinary. You got to assume the cat is going to win. And if the cat got defeated, so then it's really an onus, and therefore it's more than onus. It's meta mahmat melacha. It's meta. You could have assumed that he could have done the job, and therefore it's meta mahmat melacha. Therefore it's patur. If it was onus, it'd not be patur. Sure, it's higher bonus. Okay. Ika de amre. Some say a little different. Achil achbere tuba. He ended up eating a lot of mice. This cat. He was the strong one. He ate a lot of mice. Then what happened? Vehabil umit. And as a result, he died. So now the question is, well, how do you look at that? So the Gemara says, Yativ Rav Asher Vekam Ma'ayen Ba'kiay Gav Namai Amar Lera Mordechai Rav Asher Hachi Amar Avimi Magronya Gavra Dineshe Katluhu Lo Dina Velo Daina. In this case over here, it's talking about you have a man that he had many biot. He had many relations with a lady. And as a result of his excessive relations, he died. So therefore, it's his problem. Which means there's no claim on the ladies. He did it to himself. So the same thing over here. The cat is like the man, and the mice are like the lady over here. So he ate and ate and ate and ate. How many mice? Until it caused himself to die. And therefore, for sure, he's going to be patur. The shoel did not have to anticipate that it's going to eat so many of these over here and die as a result. Just like the man. It's his fault. He has too many biot. As a result of it, he weakens himself, that he dies. That's his fault. Therefore, you're not hayav. It's still considered meta machmat melacha. He says the death of the cat, mirov achila, is similar to the man, mirov be'ilot. In both these cases, it's not a pishi'ah. Because you didn't have to assume that such a thing is going to happen. He didn't have to ask. The shu'ed didn't have to ask, can he eat so many mice? You assume that a cat can eat many mice until he's able to. Nefesh considered meta machmat melacha. So that's one way of looking at it. One way of looking at it, that normally he's supposed to make it from this. It's like the man who has many bi'ot, is not supposed to die. So therefore, you don't have to assume that this was something that was dangerous. Rabbeinu Hananel has a different way of learning it. He said the shu'el is patur because the cat did it to himself. Eating more, just like the man did it to himself, having more bi'ot. Therefore, it's not the pshat that he should have been able to handle it. Pshat is, I don't know, I think the cat did it to himself by eating more. I don't have to assume the cat's going to eat more than it's able to stomach. So therefore, either way, you're going to be patur. So comes again and says, another story. Amar Rava, Hayman, Deba'el Mish'al Midi, Mehavrev Iftar. There's a guy, he wants to borrow something from his friend, but he wants to be patur from any liability. So the way you do that, the Gemara gives an advice. Nemale ashkiyan maya. You should tell him at the time that he's borrowing the item, please pour me some water. Dehavi she'ela bebe'alim. Because then, since he's working for him at the time of the loan, it's considered a borrowing with the ba'alim there. Mm-hmm. And what did we learn in the Torah already? That when the owners are stipulated at the time of the borrowing, lo yishalem. So therefore, when you're borrowing an item, say, I'd like to borrow this item from you, and please, could you pour me some water? So therefore, now he's working for you, the time of the she'elah. Now if something happens to it, you'll be patur. Now, and if the guy who's lending is a smart guy, he'll tell him, sha'il beresha, first borrow the item, take the item first, then I'll give you the water. As we learned, that the loan has to happen at the same time. The loan of the item and the guy has to happen at the same time. So therefore, if the lender is smart, I'll say, take the item first. Now, after he lent it, I'll say, I'll pour you the... Well, that's not considered ba'alav emo. So that's the way to do that there. So comes the Gemara and says, Amalava, makre dardeke, those are the school teachers. Makre dardeke, they teach the children how to read. Shatla, as she says, is noteya keramim. Right, it's like a sharecropper. The mehsa, he gets like gets a percentage. Tabaha would be the butcher, and the umana, as she says, is the mekiz dam. He's the bloodletter. Okay, all these guys, or sapar mata, sapar would be the barber. Okay, that gives haircuts to the people of the city. All these guys, when they're working, free individuals of the city, that's considered she'ela bebe'alim. Rashi, in mishaya ze bemelachto, sha'al emena behema beota sha'ometa patur. You go to the barber. Now the barber of the city is cutting one of the members' hair. The guy in the barber's chair, he comes along and he asks the barber, can you lend me something? At the time that he's giving him a haircut, it's considered be'alav emo. And therefore, if something happens to the item that he borrowed from the barber, so therefore it's going to be patur. For that matter, the butcher, when he's cutting you the meat, if you borrowed something from the butcher at that time when he's cutting you the meat, it's be'alav emo. Or he's bloodletting you. Or he's teaching the kids. So long as this guy is working for you, at the time that he's working for you, if you borrow something from him, you're going to be patur, because considered ba'alav emo. He's doing work for you, and even which we learned earlier, even if the work is done in a different capacity. He doesn't have to work for you on the actual item that you borrowed, right? So long as he's working for you in any capacity. He's giving you a haircut. You borrowed a bowl from him, and then the bowl broke. Deen is, you're patur, that's ba'alav emo. Yes, they're actually working for the person. Not yet. As opposed to working from somebody in the city. It's got to be actually working to the guy that he actually borrowed that actually lent the item to.
What
does
it
say,
all
of
them municipal employees? Why does he have to be a municipal employee?
No, the chidush is over here that even though the municipal employees, and so you might have thought that if he works for anybody in the city, So therefore, any borrower is going to be patur as long as he's working in the city. Mm-hmm. And therefore, the Gemara's chantush over here is that not only specifically the guy that is actually hiring him for that day, for that moment, he's patur on the she'ela.
So here, this guy, he's paid with tax money.
Correct. Now, that's what I'm telling you. Even though he's getting paid from a general pool of money, so you might have thought, let's say they put all money in the city to pay the butcher, and to pay the school teachers, and to pay his whole public fund. So you might have thought that, that if he's working for anybody in the city, since it's all from the same funds, so therefore, anybody that borrows from these guys will be patur. Well, I think it doesn't work that way. What works is that everybody puts money in the fund, but only when he's working for that specific person that he's doing the job for, then he's going to be considered Ba'alav and more, and therefore they're going to be patur from She'ela. Okay, that's the way they're learning. Okay. Very good. Kavli Gabran continues. Amru le Rabbanan le Rabba. Okay, story here. The rabbis in the Bit Midrash, they told Rabba, She'ilan mor. You're working for us now because you're teaching us Torah the whole day. And therefore, if we would borrow something from you and it broke, we would not have to pay you. Because you're hired to teach us Torah. So you're working for us. You're working for us, so that's considered Ba'alav and more. So that's what they told the rabbi. So look at Rashi. She'il lan mor. Rabbeinu, nish'al lanu lemelachtenu lelmod. He says, Rabbi, you are hired to us or loaned to us to teach us. Lelmod lanu Torah. She yoshev umelamed lanu Torah kol hayom. Because you're teaching us Torah the whole day. Vim nish'al memenu behema umeta. And therefore, if we borrow an animal from you and it dies, niftar will be patur. Now, even though he doesn't teach them Torah 24 hours a day, but he's available during the day to answer questions that they have and different sifikot. So even though he might not be in physical shiur, let's say, but he's there for the day to teach them the sugya. Good. So in this case over here, it comes out that even though, which is really, really different than the last case, in this case over here, the students are considered shutafim, partners. And the partner is now all sharing a worker. So the deen is going to be, as long as the worker is working for one of the partners, everybody's going to be patur. Which means, let's say the rabbi is answering somebody's question. He's working with one student. The other student that borrowed something from the rabbi will be patur, because bottom line, the rabbi is working for the group. He's working for the partnership. It's a little different than the last case that we had, where there weren't partners in the city. Each person was individual, even though they paid to the public funds, but they were not partners. Each person paid a certain amount, but it didn't make them partners because they had a communal fund. So therefore, you got to be working for the individual. Here, no one's paying anything. It's just that, or maybe they're paying together, but they're actually partners in the fact that they're all getting the shi'ud at the same time. So they're considered like shutafim. So once you consider shutafim, where they're sharing the rabbi at the same time, so then already, even if the rabbi is giving private attention to one, it's considered he's working for the whole group, and therefore, they'll be patur from paying. Anyway, when he told him that, he didn't like that. He didn't like this. So the rabbi told him, he said like this. Ikpid ve'amad lehu. He was makpid, the rabbi. And he told him, le'afku'e mamonai keba'itu. What? You want to take my money away from me? So you're trying to tell me that if I borrow something from the rabbi now, I don't got to pay the rabbi back if it breaks or something. What, you're trying to uproot my money from me? Adraba, he says on the contrary. Atun she'iltun li. You are working for me. What does that mean? De'ilu ana matze ishtamute lichu memasechta lemasechta. Because I could decide which masechet we're learning. I decide the curriculum. And I can tell you we're not learning this anymore. We're learning that. And therefore, I'm controlling over here. And therefore, because for example, he says, if there's a certain masechet that I want to learn because I'm forgetting it, I can say, you know what? No, I'm not learning that. Now we're going to learn this. So they were other way. You're working for me, so I can have my memory back. Atun lo matzitun ishtemute. But you guys, you cannot decide which curriculum we're going to study. And you cannot change the masechet. So therefore, on the contrary, if I borrow from you, I'll be patur. Because you're helping me. I'm not helping you.
It's a salary.
So it comes together. Look at that sheet. And she says, Atun she'iltuni limelachti. You're working for me. When I want to start another masechet because I don't want it to be forgotten for me, and you cannot protest. So the Gemara says, "Velohi." In truth, that's not so. Why? Ihu sha'ilihu biyomad dechala. Inu sha'ilihu bishar yomeh. It depends what time of year it is. There's certain times a year where the curriculum is set. Two times a year, the rabbi used to give a big shiur in Elul before Rosh Hashanah, and in Adar before Pesach. They used to have Yerhei Kala, where the students used to get together, and the rabbi would teach them the halachot of the upcoming holiday. There, the curriculum is set. The rabbi cannot come to the Yerhei Kala and say, we're learning something else. So there it's clear that the rabbi is working for the students at that time. And therefore, if their students would borrow something from the rabbi, they would indeed be patur. Masha'ekin, during the rest of the year, when a rabbi could always say, listen, this masechet is needed to be reviewed, change the masechet and that, then already they're working for him, so to speak, and therefore, if he would borrow something from them, he would be patur. So it all depends on the time of year. Look at Ashi. Biyomad dechala, kishedorshim lifnei haregel, bilchot haregel, when they're teaching halakot of the holidays, delo matzil ishtemutetel limita achariti. Right? You cannot push off the curriculum to something else. Inu she'ilulu b'shar yomeh, she'ilu garsinan. Okay, she'ilu, that's the word that he's supposed to say. Okay. Comes the Gemara and continues the story. Moremor bar hanina, ogal kudnaita bechozai. So Moremor, he rented an animal, a mule, to the people of the city of Mechozai. Okay, at the time of the rental, what happened? Nafak ledeluye te'una ba'adayu. It seems they were loading the animal, so he went and helped them load the animal. Pashuba umit. The guys that rented it were pushim, they were negligent, and the animal died. Atu the kamei de Rava, so they came in front of Rava. Haybin hu, Rava told the sochrim, the renters, they gotta pay. Amru de Rabbanan Rava, pishia bebealim hi. Although that it's a pushaya, but it was pishia where the owners were there, because the owners were actually helping. Moremor was helping. And therefore, we have a deen that if the owners are there, you're going to be patur. Right? That's the question. So, ichsif, he got embarrassed because he said the wrong halakha. Lesof, at the end, iglai milta dilimesal te'una hu denafak, that he went out not to do work, just to supervise. Which means he wasn't actually doing any work. So therefore, he was right in his halakha. See, the rabbi said the right halakha to the wrong scenario. But at the end, he was right. Which means, they told him, hey listen, Moremor came and he was helping us load the animal, and then the animal died. They were pushaya and the animal died. So the rabbi said, he died, animal died? Hayav. So I thought, why was hayav for ba'alav imo? Then it was realized that it really wasn't a ba'alav imo situation. Even though he's standing there, but he wasn't doing any work for them. He was actually just supervising the loading of that animal. So therefore, the rabbi said the right halakha in the end. So now the Gemara is going to question. According to the opinion that says, remember we had a big machloket earlier in this perek, that to what extent do we say ba'alav imo patur? Even if the shomer is a poshaya? I mean, let's say he's negligent. So you remember we had a whole machloket, if even by posheya, do we say the ptur of ba'alav emor? So the Gemara says, according to the opinion that says, pishia be'alim patur, mishumachi iksif. That's why he got embarrassed initially. Because he said the wrong deen. which is if you really hold Pishyabed Baalim is Patur, so therefore he said Pishyabed Baalim Hayav. So therefore that's why I got embarrassed and said the wrong halakha. But according to the opinion that says Pishyabed Baalim is Hayav, so why did he get embarrassed? He actually said the right halakha. Which means he shouldn't have got embarrassed. He said what was supposed to be said. Which means the Gemara is assuming over here that all the facts were known to the rabbi. So if you tell me that what? Normally Pishi Abed Ba'alim is Patur, and they came along and said, Rabbi, we have a situation of Pishi Abed Ba'alim, and he said, Hayav. Oh, then already, okay, that's got embarrassed. He messed up. But according to the opinion that says Pishi Abed Ba'alim is Hayav, and they came and told him, Rabbi, we have a situation here of Pishi Abed Ba'alim. So he said, Hayav. So what do you want? He said the right answer. So comes the Gemara and says, Lo mifsha pash'uba. That wasn't the case. They weren't pushim. Ela ignube ignub. Umeta kedarka beganav. Have it. Wow, new story. The animal actually got stolen. The robbers took the animal and it died in the robber's possession. So it was a whole different story.
I thought he was there.
No, I mean, now we're retelling the story. Right. Got stolen. Ganavim came and they took it and they died over there. So the Gemara says, Ve'atu lekamed rava ve'chayvinu. And he came along and said that the hayav to pay for the geneva, the renters. Amru le rabbanan le rava. So the rabbis told rava, geneva beba'alimi. What do you mean? Is geneva, the owners were there. And therefore, if the owners are there, the deen is also going to be patur. He was helping them load the animal. Ichsif. So he got embarrassed. At the end, it was realized that that wasn't the case. He was just supervising. So therefore, in this case, over it wasn't a pishia at all. It was a different case. We're changing the story.
They
saw
that. He was stealing him and he was helping him?
He was supervising them.
Stealing the animal?
No, supervising, loading the animal. No. He rented an animal. Moremar rented an animal to somebody. The people of Mehozai. He was supervising them load the animal, and it got stolen. The animal got stolen. So now the animal got stolen, so the lawyer's what? There's no sathik on this. The deen is, if it's Gineva Be'alim, Barua got stolen, so what? The owner was there, so he patur. So the rabbi told him, Hayav. Oh, that's why I got embarrassed. They went, hey, Gineva Be'alim, there's no two sides to this over here. For sure you got to get embarrassed. They told him, oh, you were right, by the way, rabbi. The owner was there, but he wasn't working. He was just supervising. Therefore, it's not really considered Gineva Be'alim. If your Psak Halakha was right. Let's read Rashi.
No, I supervise.
That's
working.
Right? No, that's not working. Look at Rashi. Look at Rashi. Gemara Rashi Kudnayata. Kudnayata Pereda. That's a mule. Bebe'alim Shayam Messayeo. We thought originally he was actually helping him. Bishat She'ela. Le Mesa. No, Lir'och Lo Yirbu Masa. He was supervising to make sure they don't overload it. Now, Umeta Kedarka Beganav. Oh, what happened? In the second story, the Ganavim stole it and it died by the Ganav. Afilu Achi Hayavim. Oh, look at that, she's Lashonim. Why are they Hayav? De'ina Meshavka Malacha Mavet Beganav Hava Kaima. Keda Amrinan Beperek Amafkid. Hilkach Meshenigneva Hayav Betashlumin. Which means, even though it died Kedarka, you can answer the question, what do you mean? Meta Kedarka. We have a general rule when you borrow something, or you rent it even, if it dies during its work, so therefore, you're patur. So in this case, so I went to the Ganavim. So the Ganavim took it, but they were working it in the regular way, and then it died.
Right.
So why should it be that the renter is going to be Hayav? So that she says, I feel like I'm the ina meshavka malacha mavet beganav hava kaima. Because even if they wouldn't have been working it, it seems the malacha mavet was by the ganav. And therefore, if they would have kept it by him, couldn't have been, he wouldn't have died. But you put it to a place now where the Melech HaMavet is.
Wow.
And therefore, it's your fault. Which means, therefore, it's considered Hayav over there. Which means, you don't argue, tell me, but they're going to be working in the normal way. Even if they weren't working, the animal would have died, because the Melech HaMavet was by him. And therefore, he's going to be Hayav. The Kamek HaMavet will become a Fkid, the Kamek HaMavet will become once it gets stolen, Hayav bet Tashlumin. Geneva ve'alim. Geneva zu shata mechayev ve'alimi. Schiruta b'shat sechirut, k'shinek nesad reshuto. Right, at the time of the sechirut, he was working with them. V'tanya le'ela, haya imo b'shat she'ela, etzlik liot imo b'shat she'ura meta, which means, and we learned earlier, that even though he's not with him at the time of the death, as long as he's with him at the time of the deal, of the borrowing, it's enough. And he was with him at the time of the deal. Kevara says, he was with him doing what? Supervising, and therefore that's considered metamorpha. And therefore the psak alakha that he said was indeed right. I want to read this Rashi one more time to say it clearer. When it says, Umeta kedarka beganav, vafidu achi hayabim, dinami shavkam alakha mavet beganav. Havakaima. Which is, even if the, I'm correcting what I said, even if the malakha mavet would have left it, which was, even if Malakamavit wouldn't have killed it, bottom line, it's in the Ganav's possession already. The Chayuv is not because the animal died. The Chayuv is because it got stolen. And the Sochir is Chayav on Geneva. I mean, don't ask me questions. Oh, but at the end it died, then honest. I don't care how it died, but even if the Malakamavit never attacked it, still going to be Chayav, because bottom line, where's the Chayuv come? Shat Geneva. Shat Geneva, you Chayav. Oh, but it died, be honest. I don't care what happened. Even if the Malakamavit, Afilu Shevka. If he left it alone, it's by the Ganav. And therefore it's going to be Hayav. And that's why the rabbi was embarrassed. Because then he made a psak al-chay, told him Hayav. But Be'alav emo. No, Be'alav emo, he was only supervisor. That's the pshat of it. When it's by the Ganav's house, he's Hayav uf the mat. We begin the Mishnah on the Amud Rishon of Tzadi Zayin. Hashoel et ha-para. A guy borrowed the para. Sha'ala chatzi yom uskara chatzi yom. Okay, so half day it's a, he lended it, he borrowed it actually, and half day he rented it. Now obviously there's differences, because the renter is patur on onus, and the borrower is hayav on onus. That's the first case. There's going to be three cases here. Again, ha-shu'el et ha-para. Sha'ala chatzi yom uskara chatzi yom. She'ala hayom uskara lemachar, or different days. Borrowed it on Monday and rented it for Tuesday. Sachar achat v'sha'al achat, or it was two cows. One of them was a rental and one of them was borrowing.
Unspecified.
Umeta. Okay, so now one of them dies. So now, or in the first cases, the animal dies, the para dies. Hamashil omer. So the lender, of course, says, She'ula meta, it was the one that I lent you that died. Biyom shehaita she'ula meta, or in the second case, on the day that I lent it, which was one day was lending and one day was renting, it died on the day of lending. B'sha'a shehaita she'ula meta. That's on the half day one. It died in the half a day where you were a borrower. Basically, the lender is saying, you owe me for the onus over here of she'ela. So in all three cases, he's claiming either it was the animal that was the one that was the loaner, either it was the day that was the loan, or it was the half a day that it was the loan, and therefore he wants to get paid. The hala omer, what does the borrower say? Any yodeya. I don't know. That is the classic case of bari v'sheme, where one of the claimant, or the one that's giving the claim, is bari. Bari means he's sure, he's vadai. He's telling you, I'm telling you what it is. And the borrower is sheme. He is uncertain. And we have a general rule, bari. He doesn't know which animal. He doesn't know which part of the day it was. Or he doesn't know which. I'm not sure.
How's the other guy know?
He knows. He knows. He claims I'm not. I know. So he's a bari, and he's a shimme. And the general rule is bari v'shimme, bari adif. Bari overrides, and therefore the deen is he has to pay. So the deen of the Mishnah is any yodeh hayav. Rashi says, Hayav Neshalim, Debari Veshemme Bari Adif. Exactly that law. Okay. Now, the Mishnah goes on to the next set of cases. So that's the first set of cases. It's three cases in the Risha. In the second set, we have the following. Hasocher Omer, that's the renter, or we'll call him the Shomer, whatever you want to call him. Hasocher Omer, Sichura Meta. Now it's the reverse case. The Shomer is Bari. He's saying, I'm telling you, it's the one that I rented died. And therefore, I'm Patur. And Biyom Shaita Sichura Meta. On the day of the rental day, that's when it died. Bisha'a Shaita Sichura Meta. Or in the half a day where it was rental. So he's basically saying, I'm positive that I'm not obligated to pay you anything. And therefore, I'm Patur. Vahala Omer in Yodeya. And then the lender or the borrower, he says, I don't know, he's a Sheme, so the deen is over there, Patur. Which is, it's a reverse case. Tosafot actually asks, what do we need this case for? Because already you taught me the principle of Bari Sheme in the Resha. Tosafot, if you look at the second Tosafot, Vahala Omer in Yodeya, ואם תאמר לנבונה ולב יהודה דאם לי בריא ושמה בריא עדיף אמה יצטריך למת ניחה דפטור דאשת ברש אשמי אינן דבריא עדיף להוציא כל שכן הכה דלעזיק. Now, I'm going to explain to you Tosafot's question even a little stronger. We have a general rule, המוציא מחברו עליו הראיה. You want to take money out of me, you got to bring the burden of proof is on you. This opinion holds that bari is so strong that even to take money out of somebody, that's what he's doing. The Bari is saying, I'm telling you, you owe me money. And the guy's saying, well, I don't know. So if Bari is so strong to take money, certainly Bari is going to be strong enough not to have to pay. If it's able to take away from a muhzak, from somebody that's holding on to money because you're a Bari, that's powerful. So certainly a Bari is strong enough to hold on. For the person to hold on to his money. So Tosfot said, what do you need the second case for? Tosfot's answer is, you're right. Tosfot says, "V'yesh lomar de'aydi de'tana beresha de'bari adif hayav shoel tanina misefa tichiyavi ibcha de'patura shoel." You're right. It's I got the resha. Since we gave me the resha in the case that the borrower is the borrower is hayav, so now we're giving the case of the borrower is patur, which means we're keeping it consistent. But really, did not need this case in the Mishnah. We could be do some kol sheken from the Resha. Now we go to the last stage. Well, actually the third part of the Mishnah. Ze omer she'ura veze omer sichura. Okay, two baris. They're both certain. The lender is saying, I'm telling you it was the one that was lent. And the borrower is saying, no, it was the one that was rented. In that case over there, the deen is yishava socher she'sichura meta. So now the renter has to make a shivua. He has to swear, and once he swears, he'll be patur from paying. Okay, that's the din. Two baris that she says, Yishava socher, ulkaman parich mas sheta'ano lo hodalo, ve'echa ketuva shivua zu. Which means, we're going to have to learn the Gemara, where do you see such a shivua? Which means, I'm claiming it was the she'ula, pay me. And I'm claiming, you're wrong. I'm certainly it's not. Why do you put the onus on the shomer to make a shivua? Where do we see that shivua in the Torah? Okay, we'll wait for the Gemara to give us that answer. Last case of the Mishnah. It's the only case outstanding. Ze omer eni yodeya, ve ze omer eni yodeya. Both the shomer and the shoel are shimmis. They both don't know. So the deen is yahloku. So they split it down the middle, and that's the general rule that we have. Mamon hamutal b'safek. When you have money that's in a quandary, holkin. Okay, which is Sumchus's rule. Okay, so now we need to start the Gemara to analyze all these parts of the Mishnah. Let's again, we have basically, let's just review the cases. So we have the Mishnah very clear. Bari, we have a Bari v'sheme, and a Sheme u'Bari. In those cases over there, in the Bari v'Sheme, which means the Mafkid, that's the one that lent it out, he's for sure, and the other guy's Safek, so Bari v'Sheme, he has to pay. Then you have the Mafkid is a Sheme, and the borrower is a bari, in that case over there, it's patur, just like the first case. And then you have the bari, it's hayab b'shivua, and then you have shemme, is yahloku. It's the four sections of our Mishnah. Comes the Gemara and begins, Shmat mina. From our Mishnah, we can deduce the following. Maneli biyadecha. Guy comes along to his friend and says, you owe me 100. Maneli biyadecha. My 100 is by you. Vehala omer eni yodeya. And the guy says, well, I don't know. So that's the case of bari v'sheme. Hayav. So he's going to be hayav. Why? Because bari v'sheme, bari adif again. And that's what we're learning over here. The claim of bari is so strong. According to this opinion, it's called a ta'ana tova. It's a good claim. So strong is the claim of bari, it can even extract money from somebody. He's not really bringing it a ayah. He's not bringing a proof to guy. Proof. He's just saying, bari, I'm sure. And you're not sure. So therefore the bari is a good claim. Therefore he gets it. So Gemara says, lema tehive tiyufta terav Nachman. Let them, this Mishnah, be a refutation to the shita of Rav Nachman. De itmar, maneli biyadecha. Vehala omer eni yodeya. That's the bari v'shemme case. Ravuna v'Rav Yehuda amre hayav. So get good. Ravuna and Rav Yehuda hold bari v'shemme bari adif, and therefore they say hayav. The bari wins. However, Rav Nachman v'Rav Yohanan amre patur. They say patur. They hold that a bari is not such a strong ta'ana, and therefore you can't take money out of somebody just with a claim of a bari. Oh, so if that's the case, how does Rav Nachman learn our Mishnah? Which means, why in the first cases, the first three cases of our Mishnah, where the mafkid is bari, and the nifkad is shemeh, why do you say he has to pay? If you hold that the ta'ana of bari is not strong, so how do you learn our Mishnah? Bishlama akointed of huna, that holds bari v'shem bari adif, the Mishnah makes perfect sense. So we have to search for a new reason, not bari v'shem. We have to find another reason to explain the Mishnah to make sense why the shoel or the nifkad has to pay. That's what we're going to try to do now. So Gemara says, Kidda amar Rav Nachman. So we can answer it based on a theory of Rav Nachman. Kegon shiyesh esek shivua b'nehem, hachenameh kegon shiyesh esek shivua b'nehem. Rashi, shenetayev lo shivua b'ta'anato, v'u eno yakol yishaba, ta'a eno yodeya ka'amar. Basically, the Gemara is going to create an answer. The answer is going to be like this. We're going to create a situation in this story much more complicated than the regular bari v'shem. Bari v'shem is easier. I'm saying for sure it was the one that was Shaul that died, the one that you borrowed. And I'm saying, I don't know. Easy case. Bari v'shem, bari wins. Rav Nachman says, no, bari v'shem, bari's not a claim. So why do I have to pay then? Because we're talking about a scenario which we're going to create, the Gemara is going to say it, where the nifkad, the shomer, was obligated to make a shivua. Based on the claims back and forth, he was obligated to make a shivua. Mm-hmm. Now the regular law is, if you're obligated to make a shivua, and you can't make the shivua, then you got to pay. Why can't he make the shivua? It's obvious, because he's in the yodeya. A guy in the yodeya, how can he make a shivua one way or the other? He doesn't know. But we have to create a case, why he would be obligated to make a shivua in the first place. So Gemara is going to give the case now. New way of learning the Mishnah. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen.